Hello, my name is Kennedy Sam, and welcome to this week's edition of Conversations with Creative Waco. We are a fourth Friday feature on KWBU, and on months like this, we are a fifth Friday too. Keep listening for conversations with creatives and community leaders making an impact in our artistic and cultural sector. Today's conversation is highlighting cool things happening in and around downtown Waco. First, we are joined by Fiona Bond to talk about Creative Waco's creative summer camp calendar and share an update about the Waco Town Chalk and Walk Market coming to Austin Avenue May 8th through 9th. In the second half of the show, we welcome Wendy Gregg, Director of Communications for City Center Waco. Hey, Fiona, we are so glad to have you with us today.
Hey, happy spring.
Spring has sprung.
It's just gorgeous. Yeah. Love this time of the year here.
It is. I mean, other than allergies and pollen and all that, it's beautiful.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
So spring has sprung, but summer's right around the corner. We are, I guess by now, the summer camp calendar will be launched. So can you tell us a little bit about what the creative summer camp calendar is and how people can utilize this resource?
It's a really fantastic resource, whether you are running a summer camp or whether you are a parent or a carer for a kid looking for great creative options during the summer. This is a really fantastic way of finding out what's going on, and you can search for creative activities in any art form. So whether you're looking for art camps, theater experiences, music opportunities, coaching, teaching camps, all that kind of thing, you can search by the age of your child, by the date that you want to fill, or by the art form that you're hoping to plug into. And we've been doing this for a few years now. Obviously, last summer was not possible for obvious reasons. But we are so excited that, you know, summer camps are happening again. And I know some parents who are very motivated to find really great opportunities for their kids, for their own mental health as well right. as their kids' development. And this is a really easy to search option. And if people have summer camps, even if they haven't got the final details ironed out, it's not too late to get additional summer camps on there. The really nice thing about this particular toolkit is you can plug into it at any time as either a parent or as someone running a summer camp. And so although it's got, you know, all of the ones that are already planned and programmed up and running on there, you can come in at any point and add your summer camp. So, you know, if you are still kind of just in the final planning stages for your summer camps, it's not too late to get eyeballs on that. It's really well publicized and has become a really go-to resource for a lot of parents and grandparents. Yeah. And so it's a really great way to get the word out there about your summer camp.
Yeah, I know when we announced it to the typical lot of organizations that utilize the summer camp calendar, they were super excited to be able to even be in the space to hold them this year. So can we talk a little bit about kind of the benefits of engaging young minds in creative spaces during the summer?
100%. It's one of the most, I would say, dynamic ways to enrich your child's summer experience. These are the times that kids can truly experiment, where they're not getting graded for what they do. They're not having to be competitive with the arts-based programs that they engage in over the summer. And it's truly an opportunity to dive deep, to really get the richness of what it is that visual art or theater or music can do to develop their brains, develop their engagement with other kids and peers, to kind of plumb the depths of their creative talents. And I would say, you know, whether your kid is interested in maybe pursuing a career in creative arts or not, it's really a great way of exercising the muscle of their mind in ways that other things just don't do.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was doing summer camps in my younger years, like they were so long ago. But I
You're not that old, Kennedy.
Yeah, but no, I really did enjoy the opportunity to just do a bunch of different camps in the summer. So sometimes I would do like sports camps, but then, you know, have art camps or whatever. So, yeah. I mean, it gives you the freedom to just do and create and, you know, be free.
Absolutely. I remember how much I enjoyed dance camps when they weren't necessarily angle towards, we had to do dance exams in the, you know, the system that I grew up in, and doing summer camp activities where we could just explore, you know, what is Scottish country dance? What is square dancing?
Yeah.
What is, you know, and lyrical dance, all those things that were kind of outside the framework of the more formal exam-based, competitive-based curriculum that we were usually in.
Yeah. So summer camp calendar is now live, open for parents to use, other organizations to use, and everything.
And it's creativewaco.org/summercamp.
So to segue from stuff happening in the summer to things happening in like a few weeks.
Right. Almost immediately.
Almost like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about the Waco Town Chalk and Walk that is happening May 8th through 9th?
Absolutely. This will be an in-person activity in downtown Waco. We are incredibly excited about bringing people back together in person for this really rich celebratory experience that will still be done in a safe and trusted format. So, you know, our community has already figured out how to do markets safely. And this event is essentially, imagine bringing together all your favorite markets. Mm-hmm. So the downtown farmers market, East Side Market, Lulu Bells, collaborating with Creative Waco and with MC Art Supplies to create this fabulous market along the center of Austin Avenue on Saturday and Sunday, the 8th and 9th of May. And together with that, we are partnering a number of local businesses with artists to create this carpet of vibrant, gorgeous chalk art down the center of Austin Avenue and also on some of the surrounding walls. So there are some sponsors coming in at a slightly higher level for, you know, larger pieces that are going to go vertically and can stay a little bit longer as well. And so it's just going to be this wonderful celebration done in a very safe and trusted format, engaging the local vendors along Austin Avenue as well. It's a reason to kind of set foot in downtown again. It's Mother's Day weekend. It's also Baylor graduation weekend. So it will be a really great opportunity for businesses that just have not really managed to get the footfall that they need to be successful during this last year, during the pandemic, for them to be able to recover a little bit. It's a great opportunity to see all those things people have been creating during the pandemic and to just to celebrate the fact that we are gradually being able to, you know, albeit we still wear masks,
right,
but do something safe in an outdoor setting in a format that we know will work.
Yeah. So the history of this event kind of started on the whim in 2019 with the Silo District Marathon. And so now, you know, we made it through 2020 when we were supposed to do it again. And now it's 2021 and we're trying for the third time to bring it to life. What is the importance of bringing together the arts and small businesses for an event like this?
It's a really great synergy because I think the creativity adds value and just kind of ignites a sense of excitement around markets, which themselves are just a wonderful gathering opportunity. We had originally planned to do a festival, and obviously that would be very difficult to do in a really safe format right now. And so, you know, we're hesitating about jumping into that full festival format, but this is a way that we can take a tried and tested model, add in the element of art, invite the engagement of businesses investing in art and art investing in businesses. And, you know, that kind of creative spark and that sense of celebration, I think, is something that is very engaging. And we know there will be a ton of great jewelry, fashion, art, food for people to sample, and who doesn't love that?
Yeah. So can we talk a little bit about how we are activating this space? So it's three blocks essentially that we will be taking over for a two-day period. What does it look like?
Well, there are three distinct areas. So as well as the art that's going down the center of Austin Avenue, there are three distinct areas managed by each of the markets. So it starts with the downtown farmers market, which people will be very familiar with and already is just such a wonderful element in our community. And then moves into Lulu Bells and into East Side Market. So it will go from the downtown farmers market all the way down to the Hippodrome. And a number of the local restaurants are talking about, you know, creating mini pocket parks, mm-hmm. outdoor seating areas, and doing specials for that weekend as well. So there'll be this lovely kind of mix of market with the local vendors along Austin Avenue, just kind of jumping into those celebrations with their own offerings. We don't have performances per se, but I know some of the restaurants are planning to do live music mm-hmm. indoors where they are already allowed to do that. And so you can go in and you can sit down, place your order and have local musicians yeah. perform. And I believe that there is also a launch event at Cultivate 712 for the Waco Town IPA, a brand new beer which is being launched, and proceeds from that will specifically go to support the Downtown Cultural District mm-hmm. and Creative Waco's, you know, wider spectrum of arts activities.
Yeah, and I know we kind of talked about partnering businesses with artists and building those relationships, but how does that process work, and what will the chalk murals kind of look like?
So people can sign up online mm-hmm. to be a sponsor of an artist. And we put businesses together with an artist who is going to work on a piece that will specifically represent the kind of the essence of that business. Mm-hmm. They can't be adverts. So, yeah. we can't plaster the center of Austin Avenue with, you know, hey, buy more mm-hmm. beer or whatever. But we can, you know, every brand has its own kind of essence and adjectives. And so the artist that you're partnered with, you can either come to the table with an artist you want to work with. And it's $200 to do it. So it's really affordable. And we have a ton of even relatively small businesses jumping into mm-hmm. this. Yeah. There's going to be a competition for the artworks. So, you know, some artists I know are really excited about potentially creating 3D pieces so that when you stand at a particular position, it looks like this thing is jumping mm-hmm. out of the pavement. People are really going to town with these designs. So the idea is that you get partnered with an artist and you work together with the artist to create an artwork in a designated space mm-hmm. along Austin Avenue or on one of the walls, depending at what level you come in.
Yeah. So how is the process for, what happens with these murals after the event's done and over with?
Well, happily, our city have been incredibly kind to recognize that it would be really nice to keep the artwork for beyond the event itself. So they will stay up for a week along Austin Avenue, and then the ones that are vertical will stay up indefinitely mm-hmm. Until they need to be power washed off. But those, we know that chalk product actually stays on for several months. Yeah. We already have some that have survived for 9 months.
Yeah.
So
from the Waco Safe project last year. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And people still, you know, I see them stopping by and taking pictures of them.
Yeah, they still look great.
It was way bigger than we ever thought it would be. So.
And they definitely lasted better than we thought. Yeah. But they power wash off relatively easily too. So, they look great mm-hmm. until you don't need them anymore.
That's perfect. Well, we will see you all hopefully at the Waco Town Chalk and Walk May 8th through 9th of this year. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Kennedy.
The Waco Town Chalk and Walk will be May 8th through 9th, 2021 on Austin Avenue in downtown Waco, the heart of downtown Waco. Find more information about the event, details on vendors who will be in attendance, and artists and partnerships at creativewaco.org/Waco Town Chalk and Walk 2021. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. This is Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU. Here's David Smith with this week's episode of David.
The passing of a former vice president gives us a chance to reflect on his and his wife's legacy. Here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art.
When I heard the sad news last week that Walter Mondale had died, I got the sense of an era passing away with him. Mondale was at the heart of American politics for several years back in the 1960s through the 1980s, and after retirement became an elder statesman and muse to those who shared his progressive vision. The news also made me reflect on his wife. Joan Mondale died in 2014, and she was a figure not only in Washington society, but in the art world as well. After she graduated from college in 1952 with a bachelor's in history and a minor in art, She worked at Boston's Museum of Fine Arts and then at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. She met and married Walter Mondale in 1955, and when the couple moved to Washington 9 years later, she took a job giving guided tours at the National Gallery of Art. In 1972, she wrote a book aimed at young people entitled Politics in Art, examining how art can be a vehicle for political commentary. She loved contemporary American painters, but she was also a pottery and a craft enthusiast. When Walter Mondale was elected vice president under Jimmy Carter, Joan became the administration's most prominent champion of the arts. The person that Carter appointed to lead the National Endowment for the Arts was a longtime congressional aide named Livingston Biddle. And outside of helping write the legislation that created the NEA a dozen years earlier, he was widely regarded as a political instead of an artistic appointment. This gave Joan Mondale a chance to step up, and she did. What Lady Bird Johnson had been for highway beautification efforts, Joan Mondale became for art. Under her direction, the vice president's house became a showplace for American art, although not open to the public. And each year, she selected a new slate of paintings by renowned artists like Georgia O'Keeffe, Jasper Johns, Robert Rauschenberg, and Edward Hopper to decorate its walls. She quickly became known around town as Joan of Art. In 1977, the New York Times called her the patron saint of the arts establishment. The next year, President Carter appointed her to be the honorary head of the Federal Council on the Arts and Humanities. She often traveled to New York City and met with dancers and painters and other artists and talked about the ways in which federal attention, mostly funding, could help them. In October 1977 at the Brooklyn Museum, she chaired a meeting with 25 women artists and art historians. Among the painters she met that day were Alice Neal and Lee Krasner. When Walter Mondale ran for president in 1984, she announced that her arts activism would continue if she became First Lady, but he lost to Reagan that year in a landslide. For a few years in the 1990s, he served as ambassador to Japan, but lived out his career rather quietly. Historically speaking, Walter Mondale defined a new model for the vice president in terms of activism within an administration. Joan Mondale defined how much a vice president's wife could do for the arts.
We're back and continuing our conversation about all things downtown Waco with Wendy Gregg, the Director of Communications for City Center Waco. Hey, Wendy, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in Waco and with City Center?
Sure. I was a newspaper reporter in my first adult life. Mm-hmm. And so a job at the Trib brought me to Waco, and I was a reporter at the Trib for 6 years. And then Susan Calley actually hired me away to run a downtown Waco website that she had come up with. And then it segued into freelance for the Public Improvement District. I was doing that. And then I became salary at City Center Waco. City Center Waco, we manage the Public Improvement District. So the Public Improvement District Board decides the things that they want, and then we make them happen. Mm-hmm. And so I've been there for like 3 years now, I guess. And but have been promoting downtown Waco full-time for 8 years now, I think.
So can you tell us a little bit about what the Public Improvement District is, where it is, and kind of its role in the downtown community?
Yeah, so the Public Improvement District is the very core of downtown, what you would imagine, you know, that sort of Austin Avenue area, mm-hmm. and branches out a little bit from there. And property owners within the Public Improvement District, they tax themselves extra. And that extra money goes into the Public Improvement District budget. And the budget goes to fund things like extra security downtown, like a night patrol, and extra cleaning. We clean up the grackle poop under the trees when it's grackle season. And then also the marketing and promotion and advertisement for downtown Waco And then as different things come up, we're kind of a problem-solving organization. So we are there to serve our merchants and serve our property owners. And so as different problems or things come up, we try to figure out, okay, how can we fix that? Or who in the city can help us with that? Or, you know, so that's actually a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. So how many merchants are there in, like, the core of downtown?
Oh, my God. Oh, I feel like that's something I should know, but I can't.
We can guesstimate.
I mean, oh, it's so hard. Like, I'm even bad at guesstimating. It's a lot right now. Yeah. It really is. A lot of small business. Because if you think about a loan, think about all the vendors at Union Hall.
That is so true.
Yeah. Like Union Hall, you know, Turner Behringer has that property. And so we absolutely, you know, serve Turner Behringer. But I also, in promotion of downtown, promote every single little booth within Union Hall, because everything that happens downtown and everything that exists downtown has potential to bring more people downtown.
Right.
And that's one thing that we have a heart for, is making sure that everyone feels like downtown is theirs and that they have a chance to participate in what is going on or participate in the growing of and development of. That's super important to us.
Yeah. And so with your role through City Center, you also run the Downtown Waco website, as you mentioned, but also Instagram and Facebook and everything as
right.
well.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
So how is that? Like, what's the promotion process for, like, to keep up with everything that's happening in downtown?
So what's funny is so much of what I do, it always humors me when my friends are like, I'm going to go off Facebook for a while, because I'm like, that's a nice luxury to have, because I am on social media constantly, because I am looking at what I follow downtown businesses and organizations that do things downtown. And I am constantly looking at what they're promoting, what they're doing, because it may be things that I need to plug in on our downtown calendar on the website, or just to, you know, like maybe they're having a flash sale right now. Or like Bloomin' Gals, sometimes they will take stems of flowers and set them out in a bucket on the sidewalk for people just to walk by and pick up stems of flowers. Mm. And like whenever I see that, I want to post that because it's those little things. It might seem little, but it's the little fun, interesting, quirky things that make downtown different and special. And so I am constantly monitoring what's going on so I can, you know, tell people.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to what downtown Waco was maybe 8 years ago when you first started now. How have you seen kind of like the difference throughout the years, you know, through your own eyes?
Yeah. So when I first started doing this, I had to promote all of the Baylor functions and Baylor musical concerts and stuff. Because there wasn't always stuff going on downtown.
Right.
And so on a weekend, if there was like three events going on downtown in a weekend, we would be like, it's a weekend in Waco. Come downtown. Oh, my gosh. And now it's like that every weekend. Yeah, it's like that constantly. And so, but what's been most exciting, though, is all of the people, the small business people, coming into downtown and pouring their passion. And I always say they have passion and grit. They work their butts off, and they're so passionate about what they're doing. And most of the time, they're not getting rich on what they're doing, you know? I mean, but they want to do it, and they commit to doing it downtown.
Yeah. It's just like a different kind of wealth that you're getting.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It might not always be monetary, but it's definitely for the soul.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So throughout this last year when downtown was struggling, essentially, because, I mean, who wasn't? What were some of the kind of like the feedback that the merchants have been giving as we transition into kind of this new season, semi-post-COVID?
Well, what I'm seeing from them is everyone is hiring. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, everyone is hiring, because everyone can be back to or pretty much everyone. It is back to, you know, like full business and people are coming out. The visitors are starting to come back downtown. People are feeling a little bit safer. They're getting vaccinated. And they're hiring. The business is picking up a little bit, starting to see live music come back in businesses, and even starting to see events get planned again and some of that flavor come back.
Yeah. And so the PID not only services downtown, but also the other side of the river in East Waco as well. So how can we as community members, as, you know, Wacoans in the heart of Waco and in the surrounding towns, support in downtown Waco and its merchants?
Come downtown, yeah. Do things. And also making the point, if you can't come downtown for now, or, you know, maybe you've got little ones at home and you're stuck home with your little ones, or you don't have money to spend a lot of money in shops and stuff right now, share, if you're on social media, share posts of your favorite places. Because as far as you can make those messages travel, somebody's going to see that and say, oh, well, I want to go do that. Right. So that's definitely something that you can do. But also just come downtown, go for a walk along the river, go see the murals. You know, the more people doing things downtown that you see, the more when strangers drive through downtown, they look and they go, wow,
yeah,
this is amazing. Look what Waco has going on. Look at all this activity. And that's great for us.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us some tips on how to support our small businesses, our downtown businesses, and everyone, you know, in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
Well, we can't wait to see you in downtown Waco. Stay tuned and connect with all of the awesome things happening in downtown Waco on Facebook and Instagram. Follow Downtown Waco on Instagram at Waco Downtown and on Facebook at Downtown Waco. This conversation will be posted on KWBU, and you can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. Tune into our next episode of Conversations with Creative Waco on May 28th. My name is Kennedy Sam, and I hope you have a great weekend.